Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology. I'm Alex Cox, and I'm an automaton in training.
I'm Matthew Casanelli, and I'm super excited that Shortcut Sync is finally fixed.
How many times have you rearranged your shortcuts at this point?
I don't want to comment, but okay. I think for a while I just gave up and just didn't do it, so...
This is a genuine question. If you're someone who has as many shortcuts as you, I'm going to assume right now in your active shortcut use or like in the actual app, not the archive that you have, you probably have like 400. What is the point of rearranging them when there are that many? Don't you just use search at that point?
Especially for me, a lot of times it is like browsing the library and trying to find examples for videos or like showing somebody in person.
I see.
And in the action extension too, it is just sometimes easier to find it from muscle memory, or I mean in the app as well, but just finding it from muscle memory and then being able to like quickly get to it. So I usually, a while back, I basically adopted a color coding system, which I didn't do for a long time, and I tried to go just by icons and random colors and kind of make it this like rainbow of colors that just looks nice. But instead, I started just picking a color for a certain type of thing, like pink for photos or something like that, or purple for music. And then that made it a lot easier because anytime I created a new shortcut, I could just add it to that color and then move it into the right spot right away.
Do you still have an icon scheme type of thing?
Yeah, but it's more just kind of like whatever the shortcut is about. I'm not like organizing by icon. It's just more of a reference there. And I thought like the icons were more helpful in the past, but we are very human. Like color does just click a lot quicker than recognizing symbols.
But yet somehow all of our home screen icons are white with a blue envelope, but that's okay. What else other than, you know, sync being fixed is new in Shortcuts 2.2, which hopefully is out by the time people are listening to this?
Yes, I thought it was going to be released right along iOS 12.2, and it seems it's a few hours afterwards as we record, so it should be out. But the big feature is new notes actions, which is pretty awesome, because previously there was a create note action that let you could pass content into it, but then it would show a popover, and then you'd have to like click share into the notes library. It was basically just the standard notes extension that any app could use.
Okay.
And so you could like go in and select your note each time manually, and I think it would also automatically understand if you did it multiple times, like the recent note, but it's still not very automated, and none of those worked with Siri, because anything that shows a custom UI, oh my God, I just triggered my stuff. because anything that shows a custom UI doesn't work with Siri right now. Like it has to display that, and that's not functional in the current version of Siri shortcuts. So hopefully that's different in the future for stuff like that. But now on the create note action, there's a toggle that you can turn off. Then it'll just create the note in the background automatically.
Okay, give me a real-world use for this that you've been playing with.
An interesting one is combined with the dictate text action. You can basically just speak out loud, and then it'll get saved into the Notes app right away. And that also works in the Shortcuts widget, which is pretty cool. So you can just put a little shortcut in your widget and then go over and tap it, say your thing, and it'll get saved in the background. So that seems like the quickest way. You don't even have to trigger Siri, and it'll just go right in, which is awesome.
I don't know about this one, because I use an app called... Well, I use Press Record, or just... Sorry, just Press Record? I don't know. It's an app, I think we've both used it, that it records a voice memo as well as transcribes it, but it also keeps the audio file, which is cool. Or I just dictate into Drafts, both of which are available in the widget, or in a widget, rather. So what, I
Doesn't
guess...
that open Drafts?
Because
that's the difference. Is this is just runs right there in the widget, and even like from the lock screen. I mean, you don't dictating into it is might be something like, I don't always want the audio file. I just want to say something and then have it saved into the app. I mean, the dictate thing is just a unique thing in general, but you can do tons of stuff like pull from your Trello boards and save them into notes or something. Like, you could do all types of importing tools with that.
I think the reason I'm not, I just don't have much enthusiasm for this is because I've never really stuck with notes as my main note-taking app. And right now, the main thing I use it for is keeping track of the seasons of Survivor I've watched and all 38, baby, and the winners, because it supports rich text. So I've kind of, that's really, and the thing is, I could use Bear. It just so happened that the person who shared it with me, like, it's a shared note and it was in Apple Notes. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think this is more powerful when you combine it. Like, it kind of does depend on whether or not you use notes, but we are generally power user nerds and have gone into a bunch of third-party apps. But what's, at least for me creating shortcuts, is everybody has the Notes app. And so at a certain point, you can use this as a place to store text instead of something like iCloud Drive files and stuff like that, that especially for people using iOS is a very desktop-centric way. So now you can kind of pump information into the Notes app automatically. And you can do a bunch of stuff like use multiple ask for input actions to give yourself prompts and then type in the information that way. So you could have something like create your meeting notes automatically by running the shortcut, entering your information in then, or it could like pull the date and format it for you automatically. And then that would all get saved to notes right away. So, and then you could, there's also now a show note action. So you could just like create the note and show it right away too, but it still just doesn't have to have that little confirmation that it used to, which is nice.
Can you append or prepend to specific notes?
I'm glad you asked, Alex.
That genuinely wasn't a leading question. I'm curious.
No, I know. That's why it's funny. Because the next action is append to note. And so you can use that to, like, I was creating a bunch of checklists in Evernote, and I've been slightly falling out of the love that I fell
all right, let's
Evernote
let's
with.
Save it. I didn't bring up your whole digital notes aren't real, so we're going to save that whole Evernote and quit conversation for later. Oh boy.
So then on top of that is the other action, find notes. So that's also awesome because now you can reach into the Notes app and pull that information out.
Oh,
and this is super powerful because just like I was saying, you could import your Evernote notes. You could move from notes to Evernote or do a bunch of stuff like that really quickly. But that's a, I don't know why I keep giving that example first, because what's really cool is you could add filters and get just specific notes, and then it pulls in the whole body of the note. So one thing though that sucks about all of these is I think they only work with plain text. And so I don't know why it doesn't do the rich text stuff, but
that's the
it
only
seems
reason to use notes.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. But the other discovery then is that when you find a note and pull it in, it grabs the text that you've handwritten using the Apple Pencil or your fancy new Logitech crayon.
I love my crayon.
So now you can handwrite in notes and then find that note, and it'll have the text of what you've written. So that's actually pretty awesome because I don't think you could do that before. You could like search through your handwriting, but now you could sit down, handwrite something, and then use Find Notes to like get your most recent note, and it'll automatically pull in like the text of what you wrote.
So basically it finally supports OCR, sort of.
Yes, it has, but you just haven't been able to use it. And so now you can with shortcuts, which is awesome.
Well, goodbye, Nebo. Nice knowing you.
See, that's what's funny is I still actually might prefer Nebo because you can kind of see as you go that it is like getting the right words, and it's a little bit more dedicated.
Me.
Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah. I just came across that last week and was like, wow, this is amazing. And then like literally 3 hours later, pulled in a note and realized it had all my handwriting in the text there too. So that's pretty awesome. And there's also, if you like use the notes variable, like if you find notes and then place it somewhere else, you can tap on that note, a little icon, and then just extract the body or the title of the note, which is just the first line, and also the folder that it resides in. So that's weird. It's like a get details of notes, but they don't actually have it. And I'm not sure why the shortcuts team isn't building that get details of notes, because this is like one of the other actions that they just updated. Get travel time also has more rich information inside the variable, but it isn't extractable with a get details of action. And so basically no one's going to discover it unless I tell them or they find it somewhere else.
Well, real quick before we move on from notes. So could you, in theory, get the contents of a note that you handwritten and then pass it into another app? Like, could I pass it to Drafts or Bear? Or am I misunderstanding?
Yes. No,
this?
No, definitely. That's exactly what it can do. And you can send it to Trello, or you can also, if you're fancy and use APIs and stuff, you can send it out to the web after handwriting it, and that can all be like pretty seamless too. Like, you could create, like, I have a system of like, I'm experimenting with a little bit, but it's like daily notes where it'll automatically say Monday, March 25th, and then I can like handwrite underneath that or append to that note throughout the day and stuff like that. So it's actually pretty powerful, but it does take a little finessing.
All right, I'm totally sold.
Yeah.
Okay, so travel times. You got me excited about this, but I'm also kind of confused because I thought I was already using this because I always, you know, send a shortcut that, I have a shortcut that sends a text to my spouse saying when I'll be home, or I always get my travel time to work and stuff like that.
So in those shortcuts, does it actually send when you're going to arrive, or do you just say I'll be home in 15 minutes? Because that's what it's always been able to do, the travel time, just that like amount of time. But then if you want to say, okay, what time is that I'm going to be there? You would have to do a bunch of date math. And so now they just made it, you could automatically, like once you've used get travel time, you could use the show result action to have it like speak out from Siri to confirm what you were sending, and you could set it so it said, hey, I'll be home in 21 minutes, but then you use the travel time variable again and tap on it, and you can change that to arrival time or also route or distance. And the route one is cool because if you take multiple ways to work, then it can tell you which one to take, which is pretty powerful.
How does it know? Like, does it?
I think it just picks the first, like the shortest distance.
Oh, okay.
So you might want to like use show directions after that, but you could do something like have a HomePod shortcut and it is like, oh, it's like you should take this route today instead of something else. And it'll take you this long to get there and then you'll arrive at this time. All using like the same action and then placing the variable and extracting more details from it. But again, there's no get details of travel time, so unless people like are into variables and stuff like that, they might not actually realize this is even possible.
And in terms of travel, also, you wrote in the notes Baidu Maps? What's that? What?
Yes, so that is not in the U.S. Okay, let me double check.
Is this just a cool international, or is this like WeChat in another country? I thought this was just a typo, but I'm just a stupid American. Okay.
No, okay. It's a Chinese mapping service, but it actually looks like SimCity. It's very cool looking, and so I'm kind of jealous that it's not in the U.S. or anything. So.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool. All right, we don't have time for... Okay, that's
But
very
there
cool.
are a couple people in China, so I think this will be useful.
No, I know. You know what I mean.
No, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying.
No, please always like, do make fun of me. But
once they add support to stuff like this, it does become incredibly useful to like whole populations of people. So that's great, even though we won't get to use it.
Well, and it's also just encouraging to me whenever they add different language support and stuff like that, because it shows that there is a priority for this outside of the US. Like when Apple Maps started showing up in other countries, stuff like that. It's just, I don't know. It's encouraging.
Agreed.
Oh boy. The next one you have is one that I think you'll get me excited about, but at first I'm like, who the fuck cares? Dictionary support?
Yes. So there already is, this is a whole complicated just concept in general, but
yeah, I knew it would be.
There's always been dictionary support, but what this lets you do is get information out of there. So the term, I almost like don't want to ever explain this because I know that there's some developer who's like, you just got it wrong, but it's a way to structure information using plain text so that you can have like different levels of kind of metadata about some information without having it be some sort of file format. And so it's actually in plain text and you can grab this information and pass along the web. It's kind of like how it is basically how Twitter works. Whenever you open your timeline, it's pulling in dictionaries of tweet information, and then the Twitter app is able to read that and display it. And so basically with shortcuts, you can construct these or deconstruct these programmatically. And this is basically like deep programming stuff.
I'm like, this is not... Definitely not using this one for a while.
I will get you there one day.
I eventually.
It's definitely confusing. So basically what this has added is the ability to go multiple levels deep. It's basically like Inception for shortcuts. terrible joke, but basically you can, instead of using like get dictionary value and then grabbing more dictionary values out of that, you can go multiple levels deep using one action and separating the keys of them, which are like the names of the values that you want to get by periods. And so I could get something that's like, I mean, I think maybe that using mm-hmm. the Twitter example, you assuming the dictionary has like your profile as an attachment to that, then you could get your profile and just your username and just grab that automatically without saying like, first get my profile and then go get this and then go get this. You can just go all three steps in one, which is for people who work with any type of working on the, like pulling in web data or just constructing these dictionaries yourself. It's really powerful because it just takes a lot less steps. You're not like flooding your shortcut with 1,000 steps.
So kind of like the old, I mean, the reason this makes me excited is because I know other people are going to make cool things with this, and then it will, I assume, make the shortcuts that I pirate, steal, whatever, freeboot, whatever it's going to be called soon, it'll run faster.
Yeah, I don't know if I think it's easier to create and easier to read visually. Versus like a lot of times, especially this is true of most programming, is there's a lot of like declaring and then grabbing data and then doing mm-hmm. it again. And shortcuts makes that just a lot easier. You can do it multiple steps within one action, just like kind of how magic variables can grab a bunch of data from content without you having to like manually go step by step and grab each part out of it. You can kind of do the same with dictionaries now. So it's super useful, and I will explain the whole concept one day, but it is like most of how shortcuts works doesn't necessarily involve this. So it is on the more power user side.
Yeah. I feel like I just took an edible and it's kicking in. So moving on.
Well, like the first time that I discovered what APIs were and that was like how everything worked, I was like, oh my God, I can do this with shortcuts. Like this is, like I can do it from my AirPods and stuff like that. So this is actually where like some of the most intense like magic type of things happen, but it's also pretty complicated.
Yeah, anyone who keeps saying shortcutting, oh, I that should be what it's called. Like instead of programming, it should be called shortcutting because
people. It sounds like a movie title.
Shortcutting.
Trainspotting.
God, you are full of mediocre movie references. okay. What is next item on our list? You have get numbers from input. So that I feel like is something I can use, but I thought it sort of what has changed?
Basically, it allows you to just grab sort of the values out of any information that's stored as like a string of text.
Mm-hmm.
So say, for example, you use the weather actions and you pull in like 78 degrees Fahrenheit and cloudy, or I don't know, I guess that weather doesn't really match up, but this would just pull the 78 out of it so you could work with it. And there's other actions like get email addresses from input, get URLs from input,
yeah,
and a bunch of stuff like that. And so this is a nice addition because I think you could do this with match text and fancy regular expressions, but it basically was now like a lot easier for you to do that.
I feel like this is something, I think I have automator automations on my Mac that I can turn into shortcuts now. Like specifically that email one or, yeah, I want to play. Well, I hope that I can play around with this by tomorrow.
Yes, I haven't actually found many uses for this just yet, but it does seem like something that is kind of like another tool I have in my toolbox now that I can, anytime I like come across a problem, like maybe before I would have not bothered looking up how to do it with regular expressions, and now it's just like a lot easier.
When you say append to a CSV, I assume that means exactly what it is, which is cool, but eh.
Yes. So basically, this was a bug fix where if you were trying to append to files that weren't .txt, it would duplicate the file and just create a text file. And so it was entirely broken at this point. And so what you can actually do with this now is something like append to CSV, where for anyone who doesn't always like live in this world, that sounds super nerdy, but it's basically .csv is comma separated values, which is what spreadsheets are made of. And so in shortcuts, you can take a bunch of information and then use the combine text action, and it'll combine it with commas if you set it that way. And then you can append to a .csv and basically build a spreadsheet over time using this. And if you were into this, it wasn't working, so naturally you're probably upset.
That's the thing, is I will believe this when I see it, because this is something I'm very excited about and something that is even kind of hard for me to do on a Mac. And I've been using Airtable, and as we've talked about it, Airtable isn't super great on iOS right now. So I really want to revisit this and revisit spreadsheets and how they pertain to shortcuts in general. But tap to scroll. What?
Yes, so this is a new feature that is very welcome for people who have very large libraries, because if you tap the word library, it will scroll to the bottom right away. And you've always been able to tap in the status bar to scroll all the way to the top, but now you can go back and forth real quick. And the one thing that hasn't changed, though, is if you pick up a shortcut and you tap on the status bar, it won't scroll to the top. And so I always want to move my shortcuts up there for the widget and stuff like that. One more feature request.
I kind of like tap to scroll, that being, it's almost like a power user feature hidden in there. I like that. All right. I'm just being like, I'm dunking on myself at this point for making fun of stuff and then getting excited.
You just need someone to help you make sense out of a mess of technology. I'm sorry.
I should start a podcast about that.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, photo sharing.
Yes.
What now?
So this has been broken, where if you share from the Photos app, it would just say you can't convert from image to text or something like that. And this was plaguing a lot of people, because it's like anybody who uses those Apple Frames shortcuts that Federico has built, these were just not working anymore. And you could get around it by saving it to files first and then pulling in that file. But that's obviously not like what people want to do, because images go into the files, or because images go into the Photos app automatically. So this was pretty, also like Shortcut Sync plus this is, I would say that this stuff should basically never happen again, because it's pretty bad. And this will make millions of people lose faith in something like shortcuts. And that is a shame, because there's all this new stuff coming all the time. And just like little bugs like that are like starting to become unacceptable for a lot of people. So it's not great.
I think it's interesting that I just accept that I think I've broken something rather than it being a bug. Because I don't know, I tweaked something in the Apple Frames. What we're talking about is in Vitici's Apple Frames shortcut, it takes a screenshot and then whatever screenshot you've taken the device on. How do I?
It places the screenshot in the on the device.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It makes it basically it makes it look pretty and it makes it look like you did some really fancy Photoshop-y type things when you send it to your mom to impress her. That is my main use of it. But I just thought that I had broken it. But eh.
Yeah. Well, this is like those shortcuts enable me to like blog significantly faster because I've created, like, I just released an article for Quick Capture into Ulysses over on the Suite Setup, and that has like 45 screenshots in it, and all like those are all mounted on little iPhones, so it looks nice and combined together automatically.
Oh, and that's all, okay.
Like, using that shortcut, and if I hadn't done that, I'd be like saving those all the files first, and then grabbing all the files and doing this whole dance. But okay, so also, I did come across this other shortcut from Jordan Merrick, who had always curated this workflow directory in the past where he made his own workflows. And then he's been keeping up with shortcuts now. And he has one that, so he has one that will send those screenshots to an API that will automatically rotate them at an angle and place them on angled devices. So like it shows the iPad from the side and to the left. And it'll place the screenshot on that automatically. And this is like, that is what people get paid to do in Photoshop. And
you can
do that with shortcuts, APIs. And I should look at the shortcut and see if he used get dictionary value at all, because he could probably make it a lot shorter with that new update. But this is like, I saw the tweet and I was like, what? Like, no way, because that is so fantastic. Like, my blog posts are about to get a lot fancier too now.
You need to send me an example of this or send me the tweet. My jaw literally dropped. Like that, yeah. That is, I have spent hours figuring out how, like, doing that in Photoshop. Because I'm not a designer. Yeah, and oh my gosh.
I think he took all of the, like, the photos that he wanted to place them in. And I think he used Affinity Photo and like drew all the lines and really got like the exact pixel points that you're supposed to set it in. So I was like, thank you very much.
Yeah.
In case anyone can't tell, we are excited about this.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Oh, man. I don't know how we're going to follow that up.
I know how. With calendar weeks.
Whoa.
No.
Okay, but this, what? Why?
This
why?
Is my favorite. This is my favorite nerdy thing because dates are the worst. So the adjust date action now has the ability to get the start of the current week. And this is born out of days when I used to do Twitter analytics reports every week of what happened in the past week for some client. And you'd always want to say like, okay, here's the week. And how do you reference which week it is? You're like Sunday, or you're like Sunday, March 24th to Saturday, blah, blah, blah. And you would always have to go and find that and do a little date math on your own. And so now I can, no matter what day of the week it is, it'll just get the Sunday for you. And then you can like grab the calendar week out of that whole range too and have this whole formatted thing. So what I was saying before about my daily notes, you could also have like one weekly note that you create all the time. And even if you started it on Tuesday, it would say Sunday, March 24th to Saturday. Whatever.
That's, I guess, vaguely this thing feels like something that is also a power user type thing where I don't know if I would get into it. I would take your note building diary thing and use it, but I don't know what I would create with this.
I think before it basically was like, I tried to do this and I could not figure out how to do just the date math to like get just Sunday because if it was Wednesday or Thursday, I didn't want to like do a bunch of if statements or something like that. And the shortcut or that action also has like get start of minute, get start of hour, get start of week, get start of or okay, I already said get start of week, get start of month also. So I'm using that same thing for like monthly playlists. But if you were a curator, you could do like a weekly playlist or something like that. So I think it's mostly like, again, like another tool that would be pretty hard to do otherwise, just in pure programming steps and stuff like that. And now it's just automatic. So that's still like, even though you might not know what to do with it now, one day you'll be like, oh, I can like do a sort of week, like your weekly review, for example. You could have it just automatically save some of your notes into something like Day One and just grab that frame, that time frame for you.
Yeah.
You could use another adjust date action, add 6 days to get up to Saturday, and then pull that all in.
See, now I already want it. Okay. All right. This very last one I am genuinely the most excited for, but I don't, nobody has talked about it yet that I've been able to find.
Yes.
Improved HomePod handoff. Yes. How? Why? Cool. Okay. Tell me.
See, yeah, I should have said that these were all bug fixes too, because what's been happening is if you triggered a Siri shortcut from your HomePod, I think it would tend to skip the first step in the shortcut when it got to your phone. And so it would, if you had something that was like reading out the weather, it would just randomly not do that first. And you would be like, what the heck is going on? So yes, this is just another bug fix. And there was like, Apple's been not really doing that much with HomePod, and I was expecting a lot more actually with this version. So
I love it so much. Let me love you, little orb. My God. Well, I bet this will fix my Pokemon Go shortcuts. So cool, I guess. I got all excited for nothing.
Sorry.
I know that we can't talk, that we can't have a mini topic, if you will, about an iPad that came up, but I'm just oh gosh, where can people find you on the internet, Matthew?
They can find me on youtube.com/MatthewCasinelli, where I am waiting to publish this video as well on sort of the same topics, but you can see how those notes actions work and get some of the shortcuts also that I've been creating.
And you can find me on Twitter as @AlexCox, spelled C-O-X, not the other way. Also, you can support the show on Patreon, which gives you early access to episodes, monthly live stream, really, we just go on the Discord and talk whenever we want and discuss behind the scenes stuff on the show. Occasional super short podcast where I talk about the cat knocking over the microphone, stuff like that. And my favorite, a home screen SmackDown and shortcut analysis. You can guess who does the SmackDown and who actually gives you interesting shortcuts. And thank you to everybody who's supported us so far. I can't believe it. That's wonderful.
Yes, we really appreciate it.
Okay, this has been another episode of Supercomputer.
See you later, nerds.